All right, verse 16, book of John. And this book of John has one theme, that Jesus is God. That's why it starts out, Jesus is God. Ho logos en, you know, he was God, theon. He was God. So, and then the whole book is all about that, what you believe. And this book was written then so that you might believe.
Yes.
So there's nothing in this book except every word is written to the heart. There's no other religion like ours that reaches the heart. Not even possible. There's no other religion. Ours is the only true religion because it reaches your heart. Everything else reaches your body or your soul. This one does not. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are historical. They tell about what Jesus did and said. But this one is written to stab you in the heart, to pierce your heart like a two-edged sword, just piercing right down and entering in your heart. And once that happens, you're a new creation.
Amen.
Once that happens, you're a new creation. It's only the beginning, but it is a beginning, and you have to build on that foundation in order to then love your neighbor as yourself. So piercing your heart brings forth worship, happy, joyful worship, and happiness always leads to holiness, opposite of what the world believes. The world believes that holiness leads to happiness. That's not true. Happiness always leads to holiness. So if you're happy, you'll come to love the Lord your God. Why? Because he's built on a promise. Everything that Jesus said is built upon a promise that God made to Abraham 2,000 years earlier. And Jesus came to confirm that promise. A promise is given by the promisor to the promisee. The promisee then has a right to expect that the promisor will be faithful to keep his promise. And that's why everything is by faith. You're believing that God cannot lie to you. He cannot make a promise and not keep it. And that's why our religion is the only religion. There is no other. All other religions are false. They are lies. They are deceptive. And they want you to work. They want you to do something to please God. Whereas our God, the true God, does not want you to please him. He's not interested in your behavior to please him. He's already pleased with you. And anyone that he ever made, I was born in 1939, just at the height of World War II. And I then knew in November of that year, I would grow up to be a pastor. I never knew that. I had no idea. I never was aimed at that. Never even thought about it. But now I'm a pastor. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a miracle because it's really God, not me. It touched my heart. When it touched my heart, I became a new person. So that experience of knowing the true and living God, when you know that, but it touches your heart, not just by words on the book. Faith cometh by hearing, but hearing by the rhema, the revelation that you have, that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that he is not only a rewarder, he gives you himself. And when you have Christ Jesus, everything is free. Everything is free. it's hard to believe that he could put you in an anti-Christian world where you'll be persecuted and hated, and that you could be happy. That is impossible. No man can do that. There's no other religion that can help you do that. This is the true religion that says, not only can you do it, I did it for you. Now I'm doing it in you. Then I'll do it through you. And men, when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. So, he was, and out of his fullness, we all received grace instead of grace. Grace instead of grace. In other words, in the place of. Grace in the place of grace, and so on. So that's what we received when you met Jesus Christ, because the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, tabernacled in tents among us, and so he was our neighbor, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. For the law came through Moses. He was the lawgiver. He wasn't the law inventor. He gave the law that God gave to him to tell to Israel. Thus saith the Lord. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So you are a Christian because of grace. You are a Christian because he set you free by the truth that God loves you and doesn't want you to do anything for him, wants to do everything for you. He wants to give himself to you. He's not really giving things, though there are things he gives you. He's really giving himself when he gives you things. He's giving himself. And when you have him, you have everything. So a content life is one that in the midst of this world, you're being tested to see that wickedness is everywhere around you, but you're not. That is a testimony. You have a testimony, like our brother just shared about Africa. He was expecting to go and have a nice time and see animals and be up close to rhinos and all kinds of giraffes and elephants and monkeys and all kinds of things. But instead, he not only saw that, which was wonderful, all by itself. But he also met Christians who are overwhelmingly Christian. Yeah. They had a heart fixed like God. The practical man is a black man. Black people, if they hate you, they hate you. But if they love you, they love you. They just go one way or the other. There's no ambiguity. If you're born in the North, you hate the people in the South. I mean, you won't eat with them, you won't talk to them, you won't have anything to do with them. It's all based on witchcraft, not a promise. But when they become a Christian, they become totally born again, and they're bold. They do not hold back. We had a meeting yesterday, Peggy and I, and we had several meetings, but we had one. And about a third of them were Hispanic. They also are bold. They're bold. And they have no apology. And that's the Latin way. But then also the black man, Donnie, he also is totally for Jesus. And he goes to the biggest black church here in the area, T.J. Dakes. And he goes to that church, but he noticed a picture of Obama on the wall. And he said, what is that picture doing up there? I don't mind that you have the other person on there, but you just have that one as though you're wanting to persuade these people to go that way, as though that's the Christian vote. Just because they're black, and he's a black man. Just because they're black, it's not a skin thing. This is a heart thing. Wow. And TJ heard him. He heard him. So took that picture down. That's powerful.
Wonderful.
That's powerful. He didn't have to do that. But black people are blunt. They just say, if they go for Jesus, it's all the way. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't chew, you don't do anything. You fellowship with Christians. And they're fierce. That's why I prophesied and said, it wouldn't surprise me if a black man was put in the charge of this world. As a matter of fact, it doesn't surprise me because they see things in black and white terms. Just got back from Africa, and six of us went. Julia went, and other people. Alex almost went. And so it was a blessing. But they told us while we were there that the wife of the president dedicated Uganda to God and Jesus Christ forever, till Jesus comes back. Muslims had to believe that, and everybody had to believe that. That country belongs to God and Jesus Christ, Creator, Redeemer. And so that was pretty powerful. And everyone that went can testify. The meetings were great, but then the members of parliament, awesome. And they said, this president will not do anything except for Jesus Christ. And he's not a Christian, but he believes that Jesus Christ is the one. His wife is. She's a very strong Christian. But he said, I agree with that. And so now the whole country, and they're the only country in the world that has outlawed homosexuality openly. Nope, no homosexuals. You can be one, but never show it. Never actually act on it. So they're fierce because it's in the Bible. Whatever's in the Bible, that's what they believe. All right. Now, grace upon grace. So you have the grace to be a Christian. You have the truth. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you that causes you to do things you ordinarily would not do. Causes you to believe things that ordinarily you would not believe. And to do things based on that knowledge that makes you able, capacitated, have the power to do what you wouldn't do, but that God wishes you to do and does it for you, so that men, when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father. So Christians should not be afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. His perfect love to you. Perfect love casts out all fear. We should not be afraid of the Democrats or the Soros or whatever. We should not be afraid of the Republicans who are, you know, they all have their own opinion. And so we don't usually win because we fight each other like we fight them. Only I think we fight each other more than we fight them. So we can't unify like they do. But why worry about their agenda? Why worry about the homosexual agenda? Why worry about Al-Qaeda's agenda? Why worry about Iran? Why worry about North Korea? Why worry? Fret not because of evildoers, the Bible says. So I don't. I cannot. I refuse to. Because God said so. And if God said it, that's it. So I'm not going to do it. And you don't have to either. You just make a decision. Whatever God says, that's the way it is. And if he says there's a bright future for you and for anyone who clings to his faith, who clings to God and trusts in the Lord, in God we trust. So I do. So I know we'll win, and I don't have to prove it to anybody. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to want it. I don't have to feel it. I just say it. And things happen. It just, things happen. Cannot explain it, and I'm not curious. I don't want to know. I just know it's true. No one has ever seen God at any time. Wow. That is not a promise or not a command. It's just a statement an averring, a declaration of a truth that will set you free. No one has ever seen God at any time. No one. In fact, if you tried to see him apart from Jesus Christ and faith, you'd perish. If you ever saw God, you would perish. And so you see him through Jesus. You always see him through Jesus. You always see him through grace and mercy and kindness. You see him correctly. He is not a angry judge. He's always been a loving father. And he always will be a loving father. Are the Democrats mad and angry and, you know, think love will solve everything? Yes, they are. But they're not lovers. They just simply love themselves. And so they're angry. We speak of the truth, but we're mean and nasty and so on. So I don't believe all that. I believe that we're here to witness to Jesus and not for any other reason. I'm not trying to fix the world up. I'm not trying to change people's behavior. I'm just preaching the gospel. Do you understand what I just said? But I preach it by living it. And then my words have a foundation. If you preach it and you're not living it, they'll see right through you. People will know you're not really happy all the time. They'll know that you're not in love with Jesus. Behavior is not what God's after. He already behaved for us, in us, through us. So he's not interested in your behavior. He's interested in his, that he kept a promise. He made a promise, now he's going to keep it. And that creates a right in you. You have a right now. Individuals never in the ancient world had a right. In the medieval world, they never had a right. The people had no rights at all. Now we have individual, personal, private rights that the government cannot overthrow. They do it all the time, but I don't care. It doesn't bother me. They're evildoers. They do it all the time. Forgive them. Love them. Pray for them. Bless them. Do good for them. Don't curse them. And so I believe that our love and our truth sets us free. And so I'm not paying attention to what they're doing and saying. And I could perish at any time because I'm not obeying man. I obey God. And God says, pay your taxes. I pay my taxes. Whatever God says, I'll do that. But I'm not going to render to Caesar what doesn't belong to him. Worship belongs to God. Caesar only gets material things. That's very simple for me. And so whatever God tells me to do, I do it. I'm not arguing about that. If he says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, I do. If he says, love your neighbor as yourself. But I do it by faith. I don't do it by understanding. I don't do it because I understood it. I don't do it because I felt it. I don't do it because I want it. I just do it because he said so. That's who you are. That's who I am. The light of the world, the salt of the earth, the dwelling place of the living God. Did you follow me so far? Okay, so I'm going to keep reading here. And this is the witness. Let's see now. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he reveals him. So Jesus did not reveal himself. You might think he did. No, he's Son of God. He didn't reveal that. He's just Son of Man. But he wanted to reveal in his Son of Man that he's on your side. And then later he'll reveal that he's the Son of God. He's now on God's side too. So he imputes his righteousness to you and your death to him. He died. Now he's coming back to visit vengeance upon the wicked. When he does that, I will not argue with him. How did he get in or how did he get the wrath of God? I don't know and care. I just trust God. So however he does it, and there could be Christians in this church that won't make it. I can't do that. All I can do is share what I have. But if you, I think everyone here is a believer. I think you wouldn't be here if you weren't, because this is not a 3,000 member church or something like that, or 50,000 or 100,000 or a million. No, We're just a small other church, and I'm happy with that, because otherwise I'd have 50,000 members needing help. This way we only have a few people. It's very easy to have, we don't have to have anything. We just need the Word of God. We just need the Word of God. And I teach you not only to believe in something, but also to do something. What do? Anything God tells you to do, because you're led by the Spirit. I don't know what you're to do, but He does. So you just, if you're led by the Spirit, even you can make a mistake, He'll forgive it. Just go ahead and do it. But don't do anything. Make sure it's God as much as you know how, and obey your conscience. And so we don't have rules. We don't have any rules for anybody. So you do according to your conscience. That's informed by the Word of God. I will say that again. Go by your conscience. That's informed by the Word of God. I believe Jesus is saying I'd divorce my husband. That's not in the Word. So I don't believe that. So people come up with all kinds of nonsense. They say, I heard God yell at you. I don't think so. And so on and so forth. So Jesus never did that. He might cry unto God, but He's not yelling at people. He loves people. He hates their sin, but He loves people. Hates their sin. Ideas, all men are created equal, but not all ideas. Not all ideas. They're not equal. And most of them, 99% of them, are false. So there's only a small percent that's a remnant of Israel. So, and this is the witness, because he's revealing Jesus. And this is the witness of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem that they might ask him, who are you? And he acknowledged, homologeo. He did not deny. Yes, he acknowledged, homologeo. Homo means same, and logeo means speak. So if God says something to you, speak what he says. Speak what he just told you. So sometimes be quiet, don't say anything. I hardly said a word. They made us introduce ourselves, but I didn't say it other than just who I am and so on and so forth. But I listened to everybody, because God said, be silent. Don't talk up. Don't dominate. Don't say anything. Don't be clever. Listen. And we had a wonderful time just listening. And then after the meeting was over, all kinds of people, came forward and so on and so forth. So it was powerful. So let's see here. And he did not deny, but he acknowledged, I am not the Christ. That's what he acknowledged. I'm not the Christ. You might think I'm God. You might think I'm the Christ. I'm not God, and I'm not the Christ. But I came to a witness. I'm a witness for him. I'm a herald proclaiming, he is here. Here he is. This is the one I was talking about. He came before me, yet he's born after me. If you can understand that. So he actually is, he has more rank than I have, because he's God. He's God's son. So that's what he's saying. I am not the Christ, the Messiah of Israel. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Okay. Well, are you the prophet, Isaiah? Are you the prophet? And he said, no. Simple. The first thing, I am not. Then this one just, no. Then the third one, they're going to ask him something else. Then they said to him, well, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's in the Old Testament. That's in the Old Testament. That's what I am. The voice. I have a voice. And I'm calling everyone to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Not just in the name of John the Baptist, but in the name of Jesus Christ. And when he saw him coming, this is in the Bible, he said, there he is. That's the one I was telling you about. There he is, right there. That is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Wow. Since he takes away the sins of the world, it must be important. It must be important that you have sins in your life that you need to confess every day. Homo logeo means confession. Acknowledgement, confession, same word. Same word. When I confess my sins, the same as acknowledging my sins. So I am not the Christ. He was acknowledging that. God is God, and I am not God. So I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one that he sent from heaven. But I was sent from heaven, John said, because my father had a vision about me. And then as I grew up, they told me about that, that this is God, and you're sent from God to proclaim the way of the Lord. And here he is. That's the guy right there. And two of his disciples immediately went and joined Jesus. And so two of his disciples said, hey, we got the real thing here rather than John. They love John because of their ministry. But they also said, hey, let's follow that guy. Let's follow that guy. So he said what he was not. And then they finally said, well, who do you say about yourself? I am a voice crying in the wilderness. Why in the wilderness? Because that's in the Old Testament. The wilderness means nothing is green. It means that it's a desert. The wilderness, if you've ever been to Israel, and I know Lynn has many times, if you've ever been to Israel, and several others I can see have been there, it's powerful. But when you go into the wilderness, it's not green. There's a few blades of grass, but it's not. And the goats eat all of that, and so that's the end of that. You know, so it's not fertile. It is fertile if rain comes on it, but it's not fertile if they don't. And so that if you have a rain that falls in the Sahara Desert, boom, all of a sudden flowers will come out. I mean, just that quickly. Just one rain, poof, they're ready to go. And so it's amazing. The desert actually is fertile. But it used to be, as a matter of fact, if you dig down a little bit, that's why there's oil there. Plants were there, and they died, and they produced a lot of that oil. And so that's why they dig in the desert, like Texas. It was like a desert. No Mexican wanted to live here, a handful of people. But nobody wanted to live here. Like, hey, let's go to Texas. Really neat. No, it's just, you know, bull nettle and, you know, cactus and so on and so forth. This is not a place. But we found wealth here underneath the ground. And it keeps coming. And it's so much so now, just Texas alone could supply all your oil and all your gas and all your coal and a lot of other things for 400 years before we'd run out, the whole of America. That's powerful. And so now we're the number one exporter of oil. And Texas has a huge role in that. Without Anwar, without any other fields, we just have so much. And so now we're the exporter of oil, which is amazing. It gives us an advantage over other nations. And that's why I believe Texas has a future. It's not the only reason I believe it. I believe it because it's in the scripture. But Texas has a wealth that it needs to use for the gospel, not just for business. Use for the gospel. The profits of that would be for offerings and so on and so forth. So, no, they said to him, who are you? We may give an answer to those. What do you say about yourself? A voice of crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So, to make it straight means flat. No valleys, no mountains. So to make the road straight, and all roads in America are built on a slope. The middle of the road is a little bit up, and the sides of the road, when the rain comes, it rolls off of those, or the snow, or whatever. And the oil, whatever's down there might roll off. And so you could see, if winter came, you'd see not only a crash of one car, you'd see probably five or six or seven cars all crashed up because there's oil on the road. And it's different than up north. So they have to use salt on the cars up north. So you don't want to buy a car from up north because it had to go through the snow and they put ice on it. And then that's on your car and that stays there. So you have to wash it off if you want to get rid of that. But down here, they don't. So that's why you have all these big wrecks. This is what Isaiah said. And those who have been sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, well, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, or if you're not Elijah, or if you're not the prophet Isaiah? And so John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but the one who stands in your midst, whom you do not know, you don't know him intimately, in other words, you don't know him from the heart. That's the only way you can know him. He it is who comes after me, who has been before me, of whom I am not worthy that I should untie the latchet of his sandal. I'm not able to even do that. These things took place in Beth Abara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. I think I mentioned this before, but if I didn't, I always baptize in that exact spot because I know where it is. In that exact spot outside of Jericho, not in the traditional one, which is just below the Galilee Sea. Just below the Galilee Sea. It's right across the road. So you can just right across the road. That lake then has the Jordan River running through it. So it's Jordan River above, and then it goes into the Sea of Galilee, which is a nice lake, water and fish and all that kind of stuff. And then it goes on down to the Dead Sea. Then everything dies, and all you got is minerals, minerals, minerals. And that's the wealth of Israel today, is that mineral wealth. And so it's amazing. And a lot of those minerals that they have in there, it's abundant. Because it's the lowest spot on the earth, 1,300 feet below Jerusalem. So you have to, if you go up to Jerusalem, you have to go up. And if you go down from Jerusalem, you have to go down. I mean, and it's steep. And so it's an amazing thing. It takes you quite a while to go up or down. But Beth Abara is the house. That is where I do all my baptisms right now. Because that is the exact spot that they came into the land when they were walking through the wilderness for 38 years, 40 years altogether. Because they left and then they stopped off and so on and so forth. So it took them then on their travels to come into the land exactly, and the land split. You remember that? The land split because, you remember, they were trying to get across, and it was springtime, like right now. Springtime. You can see water everywhere in Dallas. In fact, last week, we had hail, and I drove away in it. Wow. And it was powerful. We all ate together and Spring Creek, and then I looked outside and said, wow, is it going to rain? And they said, yeah, you got about 2 minutes to get to your car. It's like, wow, I don't know about that one. Anyway, I went, and as soon as it started, hailing. It's like, whoa. And every way I went, I looked every direction. Black, black, black. I mean, it was just dark. And if you saw it, it was like a mushroom over all of Dallas. Wow. Did you see it in the papers? It was in the papers. They showed a big cloud, and then underneath, all this black. You know, all the rain coming down and the hail. So anyway, there's no way you could turn. And there were trees knocked over into the road. Any way you went, there were trees knocked down. There's no way. You had to back up and get around. And which way do you go to get out of here? You know, and there was no way. Soon as I got to the bottom to go to Fort Worth, sunshine. It's just, that thing just was right over Dallas. Did you ever see it in the paper?
Yeah.
It's like powerful. And it's like, whoa, that thing is big, and it covers all of Dallas. It's amazing. So there's no way to escape it. And so I just kind of drove fast, and then I had an idea. I'm going to go to Preston, where they have that parking, and it's a garage. And we just parked in there until it was over. So that saved the car. So there's no dents or nothing. Because I drove fast through that. It was quick, get out of here. But I couldn't. There's no way you could go. That cloud was over everything. And it touched all the way up to here. So it was amazing. So that's where John did his baptism. And it's deep water. The other place up next to the Galilee Sea is shallow. And the little fish will nibble at your feet, you know. And it's cold. But down there, it might be cold, but it's deep. So you can actually baptize people. And a lot of baptisms take place there now. They built it up. So it's amazing. Why do you baptize? I baptize in water, but this one's going to come and baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So that's different. Two different baptisms. And that's why it's plural. Baptisms. You're baptized in fire, you're baptized in water, you're baptized, you know, it's got a lot of baptisms. And you have to be baptized in all of it. The Holy Ghost, that's a baptism, and with fire. The fire is to burn out all your sin. So it's not fire. It's just the fire means it's going to remove all your sin because you don't do that. Jesus does that. Jesus does that. Then you don't go through death. So you're born twice, then you only die once. But if you're born once, you die twice. You die biologically, bios. You also die eternally, forever and ever. So those two deaths are what's facing humanity. And anyone that's alive today will have both of those deaths, unless you're born again of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit every day, led of the Spirit every day. And that's my life. I don't care about anybody else, but that's my life. Is I want to. I was born to be a pastor. I hated it, didn't want to be that. But now I'm a pastor. And I love it now. I changed my mind because of the Holy Spirit, not me. I didn't change my mind. He did. He just reached into my heart through this word. And now all of a sudden I believe everything. And that's why I'm blessed all the time, highly favored by God. Not because I'm any good. I'm like John. I can't even untie a shoelace. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not good, but God is. I'm not good. Did you hear what I just said? I'm not good. I'm not the Christ. I'm not him at all. But he loves me, and I'm just counting on his promise that he keeps it. I hope he's faithful to keep that promise, because there's no hope in me. There's no hope in the Pope. Did you hear what I just said? And I'm not saying that because it's cute. I'm just saying it. There's no hope in man. And religion is just morals. Most religions that we know, because they're not really having the virtue of Christ who actually reveals himself to them personally. And even the popes know that. Paul VI, for example, he invited all the charismatics to come to the Vatican years ago. And anyway, and then they were singing Alleluia in the Sistine Chapel. They were singing it, and he said, "We have the organization, but we don't have the power. So let's make a deal. Let's make a covenant right here. You come in and give us the power you have, and we'll have the organization to promote what you're doing." Now, you don't all know that, but I wasn't there, but I know about people that were there. And I know what they did and what they said. They then went to Jerusalem after that and had communion together to solidify that agreement, that covenant that was made. So they had the morals. They didn't have the virtue. They had the morals. Now, I'm not saying every Roman Catholic is not like that, because individuals may just not do all the rituals and stuff. They also have in their heart. Jesus reached their heart. And that's totally possible. And it's possible that you have a friend that's Roman Catholic and they love Jesus with all their heart, soul, and strength. And so it's none of mine. I don't judge that thing. But one thing that they never did was they never gave up what we just read a few minutes ago, the creed. The Athanasian Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and the creed that we read here. And so these creeds, we never argued about that, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No Protestant ever argued about that, none. And the ones that did are not. They're not Protestant at all. And so, I mean, Protestants think all over the place, so you can't tell what they're doing. But they believe that you actually can do good works on your own as a human being, and that'll please God. And so many Roman Catholics are very sincere about that. I mean, they mean it. But they're also in bondage, just like the way Jews are. So that's a problem, that you think you can do something to please God where God wants to do everything to please you. And so we reverse it. So they're not wrong. They're just wrong about how they understand the Bible, how they understand the Scripture. And so tradition is big for them, as it is for the Jewish people and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and so on, because they're under laws. We're not under any law. We're under grace. Because you're under grace, you let Jesus do what he said. And I'm not going to help him because I can't. And so I just let him do it. And so if I changed, I give all the glory to God. Raul, if you changed, and I know you did, you give all the glory to God. I didn't do anything. I just was me. And I just retained me. I mean, I just was me because I didn't. I knew I couldn't do it. I knew there's no way that I can be warm when I'm not. I was, you know, cold, and didn't love anybody, nobody. I didn't love my parents. I didn't love anybody. So I'm not going to pretend like I do. And I'm critical, and you know, so on and so forth. It doesn't matter. But now I'm a Christian, so that's all gone, and I do it by faith. I don't do it because I actually have the same feelings everybody else has, but I ignore them. I don't believe in them. I believe this Bible. So I love my wife by faith. But you say, do you feel it? Well, sometimes I do, but it kind of disappears quickly. Have any cookies? You know, I mean, I just can be distracted so easily. Right. Is anyone else like me, that sometimes you're a nice Christian and other times you're a weird person? And so I do all of that. And sometimes I'm the devil. Sometimes I'm myself. Sometimes I'm Christian. Sometimes I'm everything. I have no idea. And I never measure myself. I let that God. You say you made a promise that the good work you began in me, you're going to finish. You better get going, because I don't want finish to come today. So keep it up, because I'm not as good as other people pretend to be. And I know they're pretending. I know that's not going to work. So when you do good work, it has to be done by faith. Faith makes anything you do acceptable. Did you hear what I just said? Because I don't have faith in myself. I have faith that Jesus Christ died for me. I have faith that I will never die. I have faith that whatever he said, that's going to be the way it is. So he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then I'll have no sin. Why? Because I believe it. You mean you just believe it? Do you understand it? No. Do you want it? No. Do you feel it? No. Well, how's that proof? I don't have any. And last night, I got a phone call, Peggy and I, when we got home last night. And a certain member of our church called and said, I'm a Christian. Now, they've been there 40 years, I don't know, 50 years. I don't know how long they've been there, but a long time. And they finally got it. And that person has been struggling for years to get a hold of it. And they believed it kind of intellectually, but it didn't touch their heart. But all of a sudden, it went into the person's heart, and they called. They were so excited. I am a Christian. Now, they've been, you know, had a Bible background, and they knew knowledge. They had head knowledge, but they wanted to have the same experience and so on that I had. I want to be like you. I said, well, I can't help you there. You have to do that on your own. I can tell you my story, but I can't make you do it. And that person got it. They said, I got it. I've got it now. But it came from God. It's not me. It's God. So that's powerful. I haven't talked to him. Just they put it on the machine. So when I see him in the next few days, and I will see him in the next few days, it'll be powerful. Because that's going to be a testimony, because everybody in our church knows this person has had a little struggle. Everybody. And they went, wow, if you got it, anyone could get it. It's really powerful. It's a very intelligent person, very smart, and see it.
Yes.
But boy, yeah, intelligence will mess you up. But anyway, praise God. But God can reach anybody at any time. I don't care what your legalistic background or licentious background, whatever. He loves everybody, and he wants everyone to get a hold of this. But he won't force you. You have to then do this in such a way to say, God, well, whatever you're supposed to do, do it. You know, and you have to just believe the way he said it. So don't rely on yourself. All right. So what'd you learn today? You learned today that John is not Jesus. That's the one thing you learned. He confessed. Homo logeo. Homo, same, speak. Logeo. Those two words, same speak every day, confess every day your sins. But also, as soon as you do that, confess every day your righteousness. Now, did you hear what I just said?
Yep.
So you confess two things. One, apart from you, under the law, I'm a sinner. But I'm not under the law, I'm under Jesus Christ's love, I'm a saint. Just like that. It's just powerful. So don't complex this thing up. It's real simple. God, you know today I was lying. Sorry. Then don't do anything. Don't rush to the church. Don't fast or pray. Just say it. I did it. That's all God wants.
Yeah.
Don't say, well, I'll never do it again. That's silly. Don't even say that. Because you will do it again. You'll do it inwardly if you don't do it outwardly. So don't say that. Just simply say, so under the law, I'm convicted. And I deserve nothing. However, I'm a Christian because I believe your word that you said you made a promise. I wouldn't have made it if I were you, but you made it. I believe the good work you began, you will surely complete. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm happy. So I was sad when I realized, I did that again. I talked too much, or I exaggerated, or I did this, or I did that, or I was greedy, or whatever. I mean, I'm not afraid of any of the sins. Because I did them deliberately. But now, I'm not afraid of anything. I just come to Jesus. See, Jesus, you know I did that. Of course you know. And you know everything about me. And you know my heart. I don't even know my heart. But I just read in here, and I'm just doing what you said. That makes me happy all the time. And so, this Christianity actually is so practical because you don't do anything. You let him do everything. You don't do anything because he does everything.
Amen.
Now, if he does everything, you can't do anything. Can you see that?
Right.
So don't try to be what you're not. Don't be a hypocrite. Just say, under the law, I'm guilty. But under the promise, I'm forgiven. And then he cleanses me. Then he perfects me. Then he wants to marry me. Then he wants to give a crown on my head. Then I get eternal life. Then I inherit everything. You know, all of that he's going to do, but I don't do any of that. I let him do it because he's the doer. He created the world. I didn't. He created the church. I didn't. Everything that we have is not a man-made thing. Everything we have is a gift of God. So I believe that. Now, let's have a testimony. I believe what you just said. I believe what you just said, Pastor. You do?
Totally.
You believe it all that?
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. It's a miracle. Who else?
So easy not to work.
Yeah. There's nothing to do because you can't do anything. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
God is good. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. It's very clear. So if only God is good, then how can you do a good thing? You just cannot. I mean, according to the Bible, you cannot. According to your brain, you can do it. But not according to the Bible. You cannot do a good work. So everything is a gift. Everything is thank you. This is all worship is thank you. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving, and there'll be praise in my mouth. I thank him for everything he's done. I praise him for who he is. And then I love him forever and ever. Because he likes me. And I wouldn't. If I were him, I wouldn't like me. But he likes me. He's tickled pink when he sees me awake. He's, oh, Jim's up. You know, angels, look at this. Jim's up. You know, it's like, I actually believe that. I believe when I go to bed at night, he sings over me. Because it says in the Bible, he does. So I believe whatever he says. How do I believe it? I just keep reading it.
The word of God.
And it's gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder and even more good than I think it is.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you were made by God, and if he made you, he's on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's no one against you. When he made you, he wrote his name on you and said, this one's mine. Dan, you're mine. Karen, you're mine. No matter what you've done, forget that. Jesus will die on the cross for that later. So he already did. That's in the past. Now, right now, he's cleansing you from all unrighteousness. And then pretty soon you'll be perfected in love. Faith and hope are gone. Then all you have is love. Because God's love. And so now I'm able to love the neighbor. And Jesus on the second coming will come back and give vengeance to the wicked, deliverance for the righteous. Boom. It's simple. There's nothing complex about this. It's just so simple that he loves me and I don't. You know, if I love, that was a miracle. I mean, I don't know how that came. I'm not a lover. I had no love in me at all. You understand what I'm saying? Now, some people feel it and so on. I don't buy that. I mean, I don't say that they're lying. I just say I don't want that because that's not my story. So I was abuser. I was nasty. I was all for myself. Totally. 100%. But now I'm totally different. And I'm ready to suffer for him, die for him, whatever. I don't care. That's totally Jesus. Totally Jesus. You can see how all of our problems actually turn out to be blessings. All the things that happen to us that make us nothing, that's the best thing that ever happened to us. Because you're not as awesome as you think. I don't say you don't have things. I'm just saying those gifts. They're just gifts from God. So you can do things. But what you're doing is now God doing it through you, in you, and for you.